We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let us also welcome Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, who is brought to us by Harris Hoisting. Steve, not only welcome back to the show, welcome back to the Bay, and you don't have to go anywhere for quite some time. The final six-game homestand, well, five now, is upon us, and I don't know if you're looking at this as a finish line that you made it to, but congratulations. It feels like you're approaching the finish line.
It really does, Damon, and obviously great to be home. I mean, the last few weeks were really rough with all the travel, so great to be back. I think all of our guys are a little tired, but it's a good way to finish. You know, all these home games, we're going to get plenty of rest, and we should be ready to roll.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask you before we get into the nuts and bolts of your team, how's Damian Lee feeling today?
Well, he's feeling better. He's had a rough go. I thought it was great that he really, you know, shared all of his experiences yesterday with the media, and it's been a rough go, and it was shocking, obviously, given that he'd had the vaccine already and still got COVID. I mean, that's, as he explained it, you know, there are about 6,000 cases nationwide. They call them breakthrough cases where, you know, vaccinated people get COVID. 6,000 out of about 80 million, so it's kind of a needle in the haystack. But when you're that person, that's no fun, obviously. And he's doing okay, but he hasn't been able to do any conditioning. He's not allowed to get on the court yet. So this is really quite a blow for him.
Given that the news hit you the way it did it reframe basketball in COVID America for you in a way that, okay, we're vaccinated, we're kind of in the clear, except not necessarily? Are you looking at that whole dynamic a little differently because of this?
Yeah, but that's why it was also good to learn, because as soon as he tested positive, we all assumed, you know, this has got to be a false positive. So now that everything has unfolded and we've learned, you know, that there are these breakthrough cases, it, more than anything, it's our continued education on COVID. And, main thing is we're just happy that Damian is feeling better and, you know, on the right side of things again. But, it seems to have been that kind of year for everybody where it's just, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another.
Again, since we're talking about Damian Lee having a tassel with COVID-19, I think I also need to let you know that Steve has another sponsor attached to his interview, which is the County of Santa Clara, which right now is allowing you to book a COVID-19 vaccine. Visit sccfreevax.org or call 211 for all the information that you would need. Steve Kerr, nice enough to join us here. And every single team in the NBA likes to present that they really care an awful lot about their players. And I think that when you watch the way the Warriors treat their players, you can see the teams that are just trying to present this and teams that really do. Steve, I've always thought that you care an awful lot about your players. You've never given us a reason to doubt that. And on that note, how happy are you when you see a player reach a level of success to where now you're offering a full NBA contract? Congratulations to Juan Toscano-Anderson. Kid, you made it.
Yeah, fantastic story. You know, 28 years old, he's bounced around the entire world playing basketball. And I think our fans love him. I know we love him as a coaching staff. The guy just, he gets it. He plays with great energy. He's smart. He's tough. He's improved his skill now as a passer and a shooter to the point where, you know, he's really making a lot of plays out there for us. And he's one of those guys, you know, when a guy knows how to play and he can guard multiple spots, he can play in any combination. And that's his real value to our team is, you know, he's not dependent on, you know, on a certain combination. He, in pretty much every case, he makes whatever combination he's with better.
So is this one of those moments where, you know, the kid who is the walk-on on the football team finds out that he gets full scholarship? Do you get the pleasure of telling this to Juan Toscano-Anderson? Congratulations, you got a full-on NBA contract now. Is that what Bob Myers does? Does Bob call his agent? He tells him. Who gets to break the great news?
Well, this has been an ongoing negotiation, and I don't think anything is even official yet. So we always wait until everything is official. But we had a similar situation last year where Damian Lee signed a contract after, you know, being in the G League and signing 10-day contracts and two ways and all that stuff. And that was a really fun moment. And Mike Mulder as well. So we've been through this, you know, a few times, and they're always great moments for individual players, but also for teams, because in pretty much every case, these guys are beloved by their teammates because of how hard they've had to work to, you know, get where they wanted to go.
A couple of weeks ago, we asked about bringing in someone else to fill empty roster spots, and you said, well, no one really understands what we do. It's too late to join us now. Well, who says you can't go home again? Jordan Bell, who looks like he is going to be back as you guys wrap up your year. Jordan Bell back in the locker room. What's that going to mean to you?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not allowed to comment on that because it's not official yet. And so I can't.
Boy, I tell you, Shams is really screwing up our interviews by breaking all these news items.
Well, that's what he does. He knows stuff before we do.
Fair enough.
So how do you use this mythical player that doesn't exist yet? How many crypto minutes does he get, and how many faux points and rebounds are you expecting him to get once he materializes from the ethereal plane from which he resides?
Is this a mythical interview?
Oh, God, you wish it was.
Yeah, well, this is going to be the topic of next week's show. All right.
Oh, will he become corporeal by then?
We'll talk about it 2 weeks from now. How's that?
Okay.
The more fancy language you use, he keeps on pushing it back, Ray. So let's get back to English.
Well,
I don't even know what you're saying.
Oh, you went to Arizona. If you'd gone to ASU, I would have dumbed it down for you.
Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah.
I think.
A couple of weeks ago, not only your playoff position, but pretty much the entire bottom half of the Western Conference looked much different than it does now. As you're looking at it, now that it looks like you're in, you know, New Orleans is now, you know, Zion Williamson is out. It looks like it's starting to congeal in ways that nobody figured. Are you starting to think about potential matchups, or does that break the code?
Well, it breaks the code a little bit because there's still, you know, a lot that can happen. And, you know, it's if we take care of business, then we can put ourselves in the best possible spot, which would be, you know, seventh or eighth, more likely eighth, given, you know, given where the seventh team is right now. It would take almost a miracle to get there, but that's the whole focus, is getting, you know, getting to that spot where we would only have to win one out of two instead of two out of two. So that's a pretty big deal, and that's our focus, much more so than matchups.
There's an awful lot of people who are just holding their breath thinking about what a play-in between a Warriors and Lakers would look like. Is this something that you've already started thinking about, Steve?
Only in the last day or two. You know, I mean, it's over, you know, every week everything changes. You know, Portland had lost like five or six in a row, and we're heading out on this brutal East Coast trip, and looks like for sure they're going to drop, and then they win four in a row against great teams. And then, of course, you know, LeBron and AD come back and then get injured again, and so, you know, it's only been the last couple of days that I thought, wow, the Lakers actually could drop to seventh, but it's definitely a possibility at this point. Big game tonight with the Lakers in Portland.
No doubt about it. They're all big from here on out, and you got five games left at Chase. This is the first time ever, I believe, the Warriors have wrapped up a year with six consecutive home games, and in the history of, well, it's never happened, but it's happening this year. Finally, you're the benefit of good timing for the first time all year.
Well, I think probably every team has complaints this year. I mean, nobody's really gotten much of a break with anything, but this is very helpful because I know, you know, teams like San Antonio and Memphis who were battling, you know, they both had, I think, like week-long breaks during the season because of COVID, where their games got canceled and rescheduled for late in the season, and both of them are now playing really condensed schedules. And you know, while our travel schedule hasn't been great over the recent weeks, at least we're getting days off in between games and able to kind of recharge. So it does feel like we've gotten a break schedule-wise recently.
Given the fact that you are closing at home, can you sort of encapsulate now what the new world order of home court advantage is in sort of COVID America? I mean, how much less of an advantage is it now, and in what ways do you see that it's less of an advantage?
Well, the big thing is just the lack of fans. You know, normally in a playoff game, you know, you go on the road and the atmosphere is electric, and you know, the home crowd gives its team, I think, a little better chance to win just with the noise and the intimidation factor, and who knows, human nature. Maybe the refs tend to give the home team a call here and there, and it's just harder to win you know, on the road in the playoffs. So without fans, that dynamic changes. Now, the advantage is still yours that you don't have to travel. So I still think it matters to be at home, but more so just from a rest and recovery standpoint.
Steve, I know that you've talked about Kelly Oubre in pretty much nothing but glowing terms since he joined the team. But absence sometimes makes the heart grow fonder, or when someone leaves, you start to understand their real value in their absence. Have you learned anything more about Kelly Oubre Jr. since he had to shut it down? And I don't know if he's going to be coming back at any point in time this year. Maybe you can give us an update on how he's feeling.
Well, I don't think I learned anything new, Damon. I mean, you know, the fact is Kelly is one of our most athletic players. He's got great size on the wing. He can play multiple spots. So we miss all of that. There's no question. And, you know, his injury has been just really unfortunate for him, obviously, and for us. But it's just part of the deal. So you just absorb it and you keep going. And the good thing is we've had guys really step up, you know, between Juan and Mike Mulder playing well. Kent Bazemore in the starting lineup has been excellent, brings a, you know, great competitive spirit and, you know, ball pressure defensively. So we're getting really good contributions from guys, but we definitely miss Kelly.
Are you, you were talking about how tired guys were on the road. Was there ever a point where you really started to worry about whether they'd be able to recharge once they got home? I mean, was the road trip that grueling that you had sort of a greater sense of trepidation about where you are now geographically than maybe ever before?
No. I think, you know, coming off that previous trip, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we came back from Washington, D.C., after losing that fourth quarter lead, that's when it just felt like we were completely out of gas. And that's when I decided to not have practice for 4 or 5 days and just have the guys show up for games. And I think, you know, when you can get a stretch like that where it's not too taxing, but most importantly, you're home in your own bed with your family, eating, you know, a home-cooked meal, getting to sleep in a little bit. A few days of that will recharge the battery, and that's exactly what happened. And so I feel pretty good about where our guys are right now. I thought, you know, we were a little sluggish last night, a little tired, maybe some heavy legs, but after a day off today, no shoot around tomorrow morning, I think we'll be ready to go tomorrow night.
Pretty big back-to-back with a step up in competition from Oklahoma City when Phoenix and Utah get here Monday, Tuesday next week. Have you already started looking ahead, with all due respect to Oklahoma City?
Well, you know, we always have our advanced scout, Scott Vaughn, doing a lot of legwork on upcoming opponents, and then each assistant coach is assigned different opponents to cover. And so we're already, you know, covering our bases with Phoenix and Utah and, you know, getting those game plans ready. We just don't share them with the players until that day, because we don't want them looking ahead. So
would you like to share them with us?
No, definitely not. But we're much more interested in taking care of business tomorrow against Oklahoma City. And if we can do that, then we've put ourselves in a pretty good spot with four games left. And obviously, as you said, some good teams coming in.
Given the fact that it seems like teams are not as focused on seeding as normal, does it matter or not matter that the Suns and Jazz are right next to each other at the top of the conference? And if it doesn't matter that much, is that a benefit to you?
No, it definitely matters. It would be a benefit to us if either Phoenix or Utah, you know, were five games ahead in the standings and looking to rest people and maybe not very motivated. But that's not the case. They both want the one seed. They're both trying to get, you know, playoff ready. They're going to be playing their guys. They're going to be ready to go. So, you know, that makes winning the game tougher for us. But, you know, the flip side of that is with the playoffs coming up, we got to be sharp. And so maybe it's best, you know, getting the other team's best shot.
Steve, 19 years ago today was the Allen Iverson, we talk about practice press conference, which I have, you know, always played that sound because it's just great sound on the radio. I had no idea, though, that guy was going through like a personal tragedy and the loss of a friend. And boy, it really kind of reframes the entire day as I hear it now. What did you think of Allen Iverson as a player, that moment, how it was exploited, I think, by him at times, against him at times? It was he was such an extraordinary talent and a player, and obviously a contemporary of yours. What do you think of Allen Iverson and that moment unfairly defining a Hall of Fame player?
I remember that moment well. I had just finished my 14th season in Portland, and I was in the Atlanta studios for TNT during the playoffs. And you know how they always have a guest player during the playoffs on the set, and so I was that guest guy, and that was the day that comment came out, and it was it was sort of amazing, you know, just how honest and forthright he was, particularly with Larry Brown as his coach, you know, the ultimate detail coach, the ultimate practice coach. So it was a fascinating moment. And I know we dissected it that night on the TNT set. For me, you know, looking back, I love Iverson. I love his passion. I love his energy. I love just his will. I think in many ways he was a lot like Russell Westbrook, you know, where maybe he's not everybody's cup of tea. Maybe, you know, you don't love certain aspects of his game. But you just have to admire the ferocious athleticism and desire that's apparent, you know, every single night. And that's what I loved about AI.
Do you think in some way that press conference, or at least the part of the press conference that everybody focuses on, the we're talking about practice part, do you think that in some ways sort of reframed for the next generation of coaches the idea about what's important between games and what's now negotiable?
I don't know. I'm sure it played a part in the shift, you know, in mindset. But there's no way it can ever be one comment or one interview. I think you know, things change generationally with time and with, you know, lots and lots of different factors being involved. And so it probably played a role in kind of the transition into the more modern NBA style of, you know, fewer practices, more rest, that sort of thing. But I don't think it was like the tipping point or anything.
A question came up on Twitter, and this is where we'll wrap up today. We thank you for your time, as always, Steve. A question came up on Twitter not too long ago. If you could go with a time machine and bring a player from another era into today's NBA, who would have a different career just based on the proliferation of the three-point shot? There was a lot of Šarūnas Marcelonis. It's too bad he can't come back and play modern basketball. Peja Stojaković could have had a completely different career. The answer I had was you. How different would your career be with teams saying, we can shoot 43s tonight? Not 43s this week is the world you used to live in. 43s tonight. Is Steve Kerr a first ballot Hall of Famer?
First of all, you're delusional. But secondly, no, I think about this sometimes in terms of, you know, if I were playing today, how would I fare? And I really do think it's all dependent on which side of the floor you're talking about. Because on one hand, it really helped me playing defense in the 90s when there wasn't as much court to cover and teams didn't just pick out somebody and put him in high pick and roll over and over again, because that's what teams would do to me now. I mean, if we played against James Harden, they would just call me up in a pick and roll and I'd have no chance. Whereas, you know, 20 years ago, I'm just part of 10 guys in a much smaller radius and there's much more help and, you know, much more low post play, where my job as a guard was, you know, helping out or double teaming a big or making a rotation. So defensively, I think the game has never been harder, never been more difficult than it is today. The flip side of that is, I'd be shooting 10 threes a game instead of three or four. And that is really appealing. So there's some give and take there.
What's your career scoring average under today's rules?
Well, maybe lower than it was because coaches wouldn't have faith in my defense. I wouldn't get to play.
Well, you did come from an era where defense was not negotiable. I'll give you that much. But, Steve, I think you're also selling yourself a little short. Steve Kerr shooting 300 threes in an NBA season is a much different player than the guy I watched knock down shots to win NBA titles. So it was good talking to you, Steve. I think I believe in you more than you do, or I believe in the memory of you more than you do.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Steve, thank you very, very much. Enjoy the rest of this week and your final homestand, and we can't wait to see what you guys have in a play-in, a postseason for us. We're leaning forward. Thank you very much.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Harris Hoisting. Level up, learn more at harrishoisting.com. And again, the County of Santa Clara. I don't think we've ever had anyone sponsored by a county before. Santa Clara wants you to know that you can book a COVID-19 vaccine now. Visit sccfreevax.org, sccfreevax.org, or call 211 for details.